You care about helping others learn and grow, and now you can make an even greater difference. The Ohio State University's fully online master's in applied behavior analysis prepares you to help learners with disabilities thrive. You'll develop the skills to use evidence-based interventions that enhance learning outcomes and foster independence, all in a flexible format designed for working professionals. With growing demand for board-certified behavior analysts, this online program helps you prepare for what's next without pausing your life. If you're ready to expand your impact, Ohio State is ready to support your next step. Visit go.osu.edu/behavioranalysis.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Three Down Nation podcast. I'm JC Abbott, joined by Devin Cromwell, defensive back from Michigan State here at the CFL Combine. I want to start with your recent pro day at Michigan State. You put up some freaky numbers in the vertical and in the broad, but you weren't able to finish it out due to an injury. What was the nature of that injury and how are you feeling right now?
Yeah. So unfortunately, you know, on my vert, one of my jumps, I came down kind of weird on it. And at first I wasn't too sure what that was. But, you know, after I finished out, did my bench and my broad jump, the consensus was I tore my meniscus. So I found that out the following day. And super unfortunate, not the best timing with that. But, you know, I do have a surgery date on Monday. So right when I fly back, I get surgery, essentially. So I kind of find out also when my how long the recovery is going to look once I wake up out of surgery, because they could either repair my meniscus or potentially just kind of clean it up and go in there, kind of just fix a little bit of my meniscus. So gotta kind of go and see how it goes from there.
So what's the low end of the recovery time and what's the high end?
Yeah, so low end, if they just go in and clean it up, is looking at maybe 2 months. High end, around 5 months on that.
Wow. Teams were certainly hoping that you would finish that pro day because of what you are capable of doing athletically. You didn't get a chance to show it in the 40, but maybe you could give us a preview here. What do you think you could have been able to run if you had been healthy?
Yeah, of course. You know, I was super excited coming into that as well. You know, I knew I was going to test well, and especially with my track background and just my athletic ability in general, you know, 40 was next, and I was super excited to go drop a, you know, close to the 4.3s. I was thinking even high 4.2s, to be quite honest there. And just because of the training and what the numbers were looking like through training, and, you know, I was super excited to do that. And so it was really unfortunate not being able to finish out. And even just the agility drills and stuff like that, I was really excited to go perform and show off my explosiveness as well.
Is this the first time you've dealt with injury in your career?
No, I've had a shoulder labrum situation. So at Texas Tech, just past middle of the season, I came down on a tackle and tore my meniscus and had a little fracture in my shoulder as well. So I had shoulder latissimus surgery. That healed up pretty well, and I was good to go after spring ball.
At what age did you realize that not only are you a good athlete, you're a special athlete?
Yeah, honestly, so I started playing, I was in sports all my life, and when I was maybe 11, around that age, I was taking Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu pretty seriously, actually. And I was always that kid that would go home and hop on YouTube and, you know, try to learn as much as possible because I want to go into next practice or next class and just be just know more than all my friends and all the other guys out there. So, you know, I think, you know, early on, my friends and family and my coaches even realized that, you know, well, they had to bump me up to like older age groups. And, you know, I'd be training with the adults when I'm 11 years old, you know. So from an early age, they kind of knew that there's something different on the athletic side of things. And I kind of just carried that on into all the other sports, really, and ultimately into football. So
having those special traits, why weren't you noticed sooner? Why did you end up having to go to Guelph before the NCAA came calling?
Of course, you know, it's actually a crazy story. So I started football in grade 11. Grade 12, I started to show more signs of, because I just started to understand the game, really. And grade 12, I started to kind of break out a bit more and show my athleticism. And then I went to the Nike opening. They had these combines where you kind of, it's basically a combine down in the States where you show your athletic ability. And I went and ran a 4.4 in grade 11 in front of a bunch of NCAA scouts. And that's when they were all hitting me up. And so I kind of had that attention early on. But unfortunately, because I didn't know how the courses worked and all that stuff to be NCAA legible, the courses I took in grade 9 kind of crept back up on me because I took applied courses. So, you know, a decision I made way back in grade 9 slowly crept up and bit me in the back when I was trying to go pursue my dreams ultimately. So there are all these coaches, you know, Notre Dame, all these coaches were sending me like, hey, like, let me get your transcript. I sent them the transcript. I'm like, hey, like, you're actually missing these core courses. So I'm like, damn, like, you know, that kind of crushed me. And I knew I had to take the longer route and, you know, went to Guelph and still pursued trying to go to NCAA, but it just kind of looked a bit different in that sense.
You play 3 seasons at Guelph. You're All-Canadian in your first season. You're an All-Star multiple times. You have a ton of success there. What was the decision like to leave? Because I'm sure you had a great deal of attachment to the Griffins.
Yeah, you know, as much as I loved being at Guelph and, you know, my friends, you know, it's close to home and just the program and being around those coaches and everything, you know, I was always craving that, you know, something more. You know, I wanted to put myself into uncomfortable situations. I'm always kind of seeking an uncomfortable situation where I can grow and be a better player at the end of the day. So I think that's what's the most important thing to me and what I prioritize. So it was hard in the sense that I'm pushing all these people and all of the, just like my past behind, but I know it's for a better reason. So at the end of the day, it wasn't the hardest decision because I knew that's what I wanted and what I've been looking for. So it didn't make that decision a lot easier.
At that time, how many offers did you have on the table to choose from before you opted to go to Texas?
I believe I had around 7-8 offers. I did end up committing a bit early. You know, once my family went down and we took that visit, they were pretty set on wanting to go to Tech, and you know, I liked it as well, so we didn't want to sit in that portal for too long because spots were getting taken up, and you know, as a Canadian especially, you don't have too much time. So
how much of an inspiration was a guy like Tavius Robinson in that process, you know, also attending Guelph, transferring down to Ole Miss and having the success he had, eventually becoming an NFL draft pick?
Yeah, of course. You know, Tavius, honestly, he's helped me along this entire journey. I've hit him up with questions and he's always, you know, just so, he's just always trying to help. So, you know, I appreciate that a lot. And, you know, having someone kind of there to guide you along during the process, it helps so much because, well, one, right, the second I got to Guelph and, you know, I had my first season, you know, he was hitting me up like, hey, like Ole Miss was like, the coach at Ole Miss was talking about you, this, that. So that also kept my hopes alive, which was super important because had I not been like, okay, I got some attention, I'd be like, okay, maybe I'm not good enough. You know, so having that and like him being like, you know, you could do this, helped me in the long run. And just having that guidance and that mentorship at the end of the day was really impactful.
What was the hardest part of adjusting from U Sports football to, you know, Power 5 football in the NCAA?
I'd say the hardest part would maybe be just getting used to everything. You know, I say that because, you know, you go from a school where you have to have a job, you don't have too many resources. And that's not because of the school, that's just because of the funding in Canada, really. You know, that's just how it is. And, you know, going from that to, you know, you get all this stuff and provided for you. So just being like, well, like, it's kind of, it's almost like a shock. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, like now it's just the shift of having all these things on your plate to, you know, now I could just focus on football. But, you know, it just looks a bit different and feels different. So that'd be just, I guess, the biggest thing. The hardest thing could be just, I'd say maybe like either the culture or just, yeah, getting used to the culture. You know, going from Guelph and, you know, 2,000 people in the stands is probably the most you're getting on like a homecoming, 2,000, 3,000. And, you know, having to go to a stadium where you're selling out 70, 80,000 people every single week. You know, it's like, you know, you got to kind of push that aside and just focus on yourself and focus on ball and not kind of cave into the all the DMs you get when you miss a tackle or all the, you know, hate or whatever it may be. So
you spend that first year with the Red Raiders and then you elect to transfer again, this time to Michigan State. What went into that decision?
Yeah, of course. So what was a big decision with that was, you know, just over halfway through the season at Texas Tech, I got hurt and got surgery. So I missed most of spring ball. And I thought I had no more eligibility. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the CFL or, you know, but I also would have not been able to, well, it's kind of funny looking at it because I'm not doing much right now, but I knew my shoulder would be messed up and I wouldn't be able to kind of showcase my skills. I wouldn't have been able to do a pro day. I wouldn't have been able to do a lot of things. So I was in a kind of a tough situation, just even mentally, and, you know, trying to figure out what's next. But then luckily I found out that I could get another job, another year. So I got granted that through, I guess, this lawsuit that was going on with the whole JUCO, NCAA settlement and all that stuff. So I found that I got another year and I was like, okay, let me weigh my options. You know, am I going to go to the CFL right now and know I can't showcase any of my skills and I'm going to probably still be hurt coming into the season or camp, or I could go back to the NCAA, you know, recover in the best facilities and figure out myself, buy myself more time. So, you know, I hit the portal and, you know, I was trying to see what schools were best fit. And ultimately, I found that Michigan State was the best situation for me.
What have you learned from your time south of the border playing big time college football?
Yeah, you know, I've learned a lot. You know, you're around such intelligent, you know, coaches, players, and just seeing how they run things down there and what success looks like and you know, how a successful team is run and just how big programs are run, you know. So, you know, one thing I've definitely learned is that, you know, you have to be players first and you have to care about the players along with just everybody has to buy in. You know, you can't have a team where everyone's selfish and it's hard, especially with all the money going on in the NCAA. So, you know, you could see some selfishness creeping in. But if you want to succeed as a team, you have to be bought in and you have to buy into the program and the bigger picture rather than just yourself and the money ultimately.
The athletic numbers speak for themselves, but you haven't always been a full-time player, a full-time starter at that level. I'm sure you're going to get asked by teams that question this week, like, why didn't you see the field more with with all the skills that you do possess. How do you respond to that question?
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm that type of person that I'm going to always put myself, once again, into challenging situations. You know, that it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be just a straight route, you know, to success. But I know that, you know, when I go into these situations, I'm going to try my best and I'm going to accept and do the best at the whatever role that's given to me at the end of the day. So, you know, whether that's Michigan State or Texas Tech, you know, I played games, didn't start all the way through at Texas, or didn't play as many games, or didn't have the role that I would have wanted. But at the end of the day, it's not always up to me. And I'm going to do what's best for the team. I'm going to do what's best for the players. And I just have to, you know, I go in knowing that I'm going to accept my role, but I'm always going to give 100% and I'm going to strive to be better every single day. So whatever my role is, I will do my best at that role. And in the midst of trying to get bigger roles, I'm going to keep working, keep learning, and try to be the best player I am.
You've shown some versatility throughout your career in terms of the different positions that you've lined up at. Where do you think your best fit is at the CFL level?
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest. I'm confident that I could play any position in the secondary. You know, I've done it all, whether that was at Guelph or even at the NCAA level. And, you know, being able to go from corner to safety, back to corner to halfback, and whatever that may be, you know, it looks different. And, you know, I'm confident in my ability. And, you know, I like being able to move around because you learn so much at each position. So I'm truly confident that wherever the team needs be and team sees that I perform the best or fit the best into their system, that I'll be there and I'll give them the best I could do.
Last thing I'll ask you, with all your unique ability, what is your ceiling in the CFL?
In what terms?
How high can you go? Like, is there a benchmark that you have in terms of what you want to achieve in your career or what you think you're capable of?
Yeah, I'll just say, like, I feel like I never put a cap on my ceiling. You know, I'm going to shoot for the stars every single time. You know what I mean? And, you know, wherever I land up or whatever happens after that, that's ultimately what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, I'm going to shoot to be the best. And, you know, I know that, you know, whatever I put my mind to, I can achieve. And, you know, that's kind of my mindset and how I approach life at the end of the day. So,
well, this has been an absolute pleasure, Devin. We certainly wish that we were seeing you on the field this weekend.
Me too.
We wish you the best of luck in interviews and in the CFL draft in the month to come.
Thank you.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.